There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this beautiful Friday as we go into the long headlong descent. Now, hopefully not headlong. The moving on through Fat Tuesday is Mardi Gras in full effect, and we'll talk to our buddy and the voice of the Moon Pie Minute, Stephen McNair, in hour number two about the deep graw and the next run on through Fat Tuesday, what he's looking for. And it looks like Dr. Bill's got our weather laid out perfectly. Speaking of Mardi Gras celebrations, tomorrow, during the floral parade, we're back, and it's a lot of fun. Big thank you to Joy Life Gulf Coast. That is a local group, of course, that we work with to benefit St. Jude Children's Hospital. And we had the ball earlier in the year. The parade is tomorrow, so we'll be rolling with the floral parade that starts at noon, I believe. I think that's right. You'll see the brand new logo from our friends at Sonorama. Big thank you. Jim, Jeremy, thank you. This will be the first unveiling of the new wrap and logo for the station. The van will be being driven. I think Dalton's going to be driving the van. I'm going to have my truck hook up to the Marine Corps League, their float, which is Tom Claxton, the guys from the Scuttlebutt Network, and a bunch of us from the station on there as well. Plus, we're all bringing a handful of our kids out there as well, so they're going to be out there throwing. So we've been loading up throws yesterday. We'll do it again today. So you'll see the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. That's our van, our mobile studio. And then I don't know what order they'll have us in. I think I'll probably be behind the van and be pulling that Marine Corps League float. So, yeah, give us a holler. It'll be a good time tomorrow during the floral parade downtown Mobile. I got throws for you, so be ready for that. All right, so that's noon tomorrow. Coming up on today's show, outside of Stephen McNair joining me in hour number two, the story from Mediaite that's out there, like I mentioned to Jeff, I'm going to do this story. And I do this story to just give you what I try to express so many times on this show. And, you know, I often say I find myself on an island. I'm a conservative guy, but I'm also not a Kool-Aid drinker. Okay? So, which sometimes people interpret that as, you're not dedicated to the... No, I don't drink Kool-Aid. I try to make sure things are true. I mean, I'm confident enough in my views that I don't need to turn it into, like, cheering for a football team. And this story from Mediaite kind of shows you what some of the biggest names in conservative television were saying about the claims on the election and the fraud. So, and I'll have to redact about, I don't know, 70% of the words because they're a bunch of potty mouths. No surprise, Laura Ingraham, she's a potty mouth. We'll get into that story here in just a little bit. All right, and as we start too, story here, and yes, there is that story. I mentioned Jeff tried to brush right past it. There's a men's health story out. We'll call it a men's, there we go, men's health story out that the average stuff for guys has been, is getting bigger. As time goes, getting bigger. So, and the crowd cheers, right, out there, but... we'll tell you what they think is causing that. Pretty interesting story out there from the world of men's health. We'll just put it that way, right? Men's health. That's the term. Also, as we look at local and national news combined here, that story from 1819news.com that Senator Tuberville is co-sponsoring a bill prohibiting transgender people and those diagnosed with gender dysphoria from serving in the U.S. military. The story reads this way. The Ensuring Military Readiness Act. What is that acronym? You know, they're crazy. They're crazy for the acronyms in Washington. I swear sometimes they spend more time trying to find some cutesy words to use so the acronym catches on more than they work on the actual bills or acts. That'd be EMRA. EMRA. Ah, that one's not fancy. Okay. Forget what I just said. The Ensuring Military Readiness Act was introduced by Senator Marco Rubio to build on the Trump-era recruitment restrictions that the Biden administration has repealed. The act adds, quote, more stringent requirements and revamps the Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System to ensure all service members' gender markers match their biological sex, end quote. Goes on here to say, Senator Tuberville said in a statement, the world is on the brink of a major conflict, and America's military must be ready to fight at a moment's notice. Now is not the time to socially experiment with our armed forces at the expense of readiness, morale, and our national defense. End quote. The act allows for those diagnosed with gender dysphoria after joining the military to remain in service as long as he or she doesn't undergo transgender surgery and, quote, remains deployable within applicable retention standards for their biological sex. So, you know, is this a Klinger thing? Like from MASH? I can't quote a bunch of MASH. I just know some things. I watched it on occasion. Parents watching it, and I'd go in, it's boring. But in this, and I understand what the senator is talking about, and I agree with the general idea, but when they give this part here, they said, the act allows for those diagnosed with gender dysphoria after joining the military to remain in service as long as he or she doesn't undergo transgender surgery and remains deployable within applicable retention standards, biological sex. Does that set up something, God forbid, that we have another conflict out there where we send our men and women, and defined however, to go fight, that this will be the way people keep from going up to the front, right? I mean, it seems like, and what they're trying to do here, and I get the general tenor of this move here, of this act, but it does seem to open up a place where you go, you know, if you don't want to go fight, you'd say, well, I've got gender dysphoria now, and then you would not have to go fight. The way I read this thing, I'll tell you what, I'll pop this story up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. I think this is one that you'll be talking about over the weekend and next week. Like I said yesterday, this AI, the Bing chatbot, would be something that people are talking about, and I call that one correctly. So yeah, check this one out as well. It's on the Twitter feed. We can take some comments on that. But before we go any further, let's get to the hardest core of the news that involves the military out there and has to do with the U.S. Air Force and the shooting down of the unidentified objects out of the sky, the UAPs or whatever. A lot of places have this story out there. I know they talked a good bit about it on the previous shows today. Fox News reporting, on Thursday, a report by Aviation Week offered an intriguing hypothesis about what one of the three objects could be that were shot down. A missing in action, here's your quote, a missing in action globe-trotting balloon belonging to an Illinois-based hobbyist club. Now, who shot it down?
I make no apologies for taking down that balloon. Thank you very much.
Wait, you didn't actually do it, President Biden. It was the Air Force. Per the report, it goes on here further. Per the report, the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade's silver-coated party-style Pico balloon, I guess that's a kind, reported its last position on February 10th at nearly 40,000 feet off the west coast of Alaska. So I guess these folks, like to see how far they can fly them around the world or something. Kind of cool. Projections showed these are the same ones that end up, if you ever spend much time in the woods, the number of birthday balloons and stuff you find in the woods is incredible. Like you're just walking through the woods and there's just foil balloons, you know, that have come down or busted laying in the woods. I've picked up more than my share in life. Says, per the report, the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade silver-coated party-style Pico balloon reported its last position February 10th at nearly 40,000 feet off the west coast of Alaska. Projections showed the object would be floating over the central part of the Yukon Territory on February 11th, the same day a Lockheed Martin F-22 shot down an unidentified object in the general area. Now, remember, we have talked, 2 weeks now, more on this show, to point out the price tag on one of those, and I'm glad we have the technology. for the Sidewinder, right? The Sidewinder missile, about 400,000 a missile. 400,000 a missile. It goes on to say, small Pico balloons range between $12 and $180 are naturally buoyant above 43,000 feet. The objects carry an 11-gram tracker with HF and VHF UHG antennas to update their positions around the world. That, according to the article from Aviation Week. So, possibly. Did we use a $400,000 Sidewinder missile to bring down a small Pico balloon whose price could range from $12 to $180? Remember, if you didn't hear the interview I had with Chris Miller earlier in the week. Now, he was the acting Secretary of Defense for a limited time under President Trump. Also a man who fought Special Forces and Green Beret. He has a new book out. And one of the things, and if you didn't catch that interview, just go to our app and look at the podcast there, or go to fmtalk1065.com podcast, or anywhere you get podcasts, search for Chris Miller and Midday Mobile, you get that interview. And even before this had happened, he'd written this book about how we could be bled dry by using the amount of high-tech and very expensive military equipment we have, which he's a supporter of, as I must, but he said we use it to engage things that are of way less value. Right, you can think of like in a chess game or something. You use the wrong thing. It's not equivalent. You spend way more to fight this other thing. So it goes on to say here, the outlet Aviation Week noted the shape, altitudes, and payloads of small Pico balloons match the description of all three unidentified objects shot down between February 10th and February 12th. This is. NORAD has told Fox Digital that the FBI had spoken with the Hobby Club and expects the National Security Council to have more on potentially identifying the objects. The downing of the three objects came after the... Okay, we know that part. So there's a possibility. There's a possibility that in that exchange, and really, you got to go back and listen to that interview from Tuesday's show to hear... I mean, Chris Miller and I were talking about this specifically. What you use, you know, could China in a way ever say, all right, well, we're going to use things like the Chinese, they're going to expend way more money to bring down something that doesn't cost as much. Let alone is it in a situation where it's a $12 to $180 small Pico balloon, as the language goes, out there that we brought down with a $400,000 Sidewinder. Who did that?
I make no apologies for taking down that balloon. Thank you very much.
Okay, good. As long as the president makes no apologies, it's just a possibility out there. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back. It's Midday Mobile. It's Mardi Gras, y'all. I'm glad to have you along. Lots to talk about on this Friday. 343-0106. That's the Ascension Technologies text line. It's also the good old-fashioned phone number if you'd like to talk. 343-0106. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:23, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey Bennett, a big national company, but a homeboy of mine. He's been doing it now, 15 years plus on the Gulf Coast, Mobile and Baldwin counties, getting rid of junk. And it could be junk inside the house, could be outside the house. Storage units, a big deal, right, that you've been paying on all these years. You're like, what the heck? Why? We don't even need this stuff. It's junk. Okay, get rid of it. Could be a shop, you know, could be something at your office, whatever. You got junk, small stuff, big stuff, lots of stuff, few stuffs. Get rid of the junk with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Setting the appointment, super easy. I've done it multiple times. You can do it online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're going to find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you. They set an appointment. They show up. You point at the stuff you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot, and they get to work. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done and get gone. And you know what? And I love this, too. After they pick up junk, like I was thinking about the storage unit for the station, they then swept out the whole thing. I mean, like full 100% deposit back for us. So Thank you for that. It's a great service. You need the junk gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Or, like I said, just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We'll go to the phones in a second. I just want to... Yeah, so Dave from Gulf Shores, we're going to answer your question there in a second, Dave. That story about men's health coming up. Also, David, this is David, said, are you sure those birthday balloons in the woods you picked up weren't shot down by President Poopy Pants? That's ridiculous, David, you would call. I still have respect for the office. I've been picking up balloons in the woods, I think, since I can remember. They just when people let go of them and they go drifting out, they end up falling down somewhere. And it seems like somewhere that I always am. Jaybird said, looking forward to Joe Kane Day this weekend. Me too. It's going to be a big time. Big time. Speaking of Mardi Gras stuff, Stephen McNair, voice of the Moon Pie Minute, he's going to join us here in just about 35 minutes on the show. All right, to the telephones at 343-0106. And Larry in Mobile up first. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Sean. You know, they talk about releasing these prisoners. And you probably know I had a sister got killed due to running from the cops and hit her head on and killed her out on Chillingers Road a few years back. He spent 2 years in the local jail. He got 25 years, which is what they call life.
Well,
you get life, and they're up for parole in 25 years. And you're telling me that somebody like that is going to be able to basically in 6 or 7 years be eligible to walk the streets again? That's something wrong with that picture.
Yeah, and there's like two levels to this, right? There's the question about the whole parole system and what, you know, the good behavior. I think our discussion with Todd Stacey on Monday's show is like, just as long as you're just not killing people in prison, you kind of get good behavior, which could reduce your sentence by 2/3, like you're talking about. And then there's this other, you know, kind of recent thing, the acute problem, where they're going off that 2012 bill and the adjustment they made to it, where if they have somebody who's going to be released within a year anyways, or year and change, they go ahead and turn them out with the ankle monitor. So that's even, you know, adding to it. So somebody could have gotten that reduction, you know, for good time or good behavior, whatever the term is, they get that reduced. And then they get out even a year earlier than that. But you're saying in the case of the person who killed your sister that it was 20. The sentence was what? What was the judge said? What?
They give them life.
Life sentence.
But life is 25 years in prison.
Okay. And
so in 25 years he becomes eligible for parole.
But would it? And I don't know in that case. But I mean, from what they're saying, if he did the good time, you know, were they good behavior or whatever, could it be more like half that or less?
Or a quarter of that.
Yeah.
Because he spent 2 years in jail because he couldn't afford a bond.
Okay.
So he was in the locals for 2 years. Well, when they give him his sentence of life, the 2 years that he spent in local jail counted as part of his sentence.
Okay.
So he's eligible for parole in 23 years, actually 22, because of this, they sentenced him last year. And You spend 30 days in, you get 85 days off, I think, is what I heard, for good behavior. So there's
wow.
just something wrong.
Wow.
Plus
yep.
on the other side, if I'm a criminal and I go to Alabama and do the same crime I was going to do in Mississippi, and they're going to give me 25 years to spend, and Alabama's going to give me 7 years to spend, where am I going to do my crimes at?
Yeah. I don't know how much I've thought about that. We just got to do it to keep our state safe. I've talked about that over the years. Do the criminals, like, we'll all, like, law-abiding people will be all kind of obsessed with, okay, it's this charge or that charge. I don't know if the criminals don't just, they just do the thing wherever they are. You know, they don't even think about the things we're thinking about. But the point is, I want our streets safe. I want our neighborhood safe.
Me too, brother.
Larry, I'm so sorry for your loss. Appreciate your call. Yeah, you bring up some very good points. What would that sentence end up being? You know, you get life, which means 25 years, and then you reduce it. Yeah, those are real questions, real discussion of this for sure. All right, coming back, we'll have more of the conversation. I do want to get in that story. So, Mediaite has a story out. And the headline here is Tucker Carlson called Trump a demonic force, a destroyer on the day of the Capitol riot. Newly released text messages show. And he's not the only one. Can I show you behind the scenes here? And I told you again, this is not always as it seems on TV.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
And crew tonight, on through Fat Tuesday, good times are here. Stephen McNair joins me. Talk Mardi Gras and a whole lot more coming up in hour number two of the show. Before I get to these texts, I lay out this story here. So, it's from Mediaite, all right? So, let's say this. They're not a conservative outlet. Okay, not a conservative outlet, but the reason this story is worth reading is it has, in context excerpts from some communications I think they're telling. Now, I'm going to have to redact a bunch of stuff, but you'll see why. It's just people talking in text or whatever in private, and they're cursing a whole bunch. But in the story, it says, on the night of January 6, 2021, Fox News host Tucker Carlson referred to then-President Donald Trump as a, quote, demonic force, end quote, in a text to his producer after Trump supporters stormed the Capitol that day. It was one of the many revelations in a filing by Dominion Voting Systems. So remember, they're suing Fox News. In that defamation case seeking $1.6 billion in damages. I guess they've lost market share. I don't know. At issue are claims Fox News hosts and guests made shortly after the 2020 presidential election. Some of them suggest or stated outright that Dominion's machines were part of a scheme to steal the contest from Trump, who claimed the election was rigged. And it's interesting, you know, you go where the money is, right? Because I'd say that Fox was measured in their responses to those claims from Trump. Other, you know, conservative news outlets were way beyond. People were claiming that, you know, I think even then Trump was saying, well, Fox News is not doing me right or whatever. But I think Dominion goes after Fox News because Fox News has the pockets to pay. Okay, in the story, it says 2 days after the 2020 election, with the result yet to be determined, Tucker Carlson fumed via text about, and I'm a Tucker Carlson fan. I like Tucker. But I mean, this kind of just the stuff you got to know. I mean, this is stuff that Jeff and I have talked about, but I mean, we've had private conversations about what, you know, was going on with these kind of people and what the image was. And so once again, this is not I like Tucker Carlson, but you know, got to hear this. Said Carlson fumed via text about Fox News calling Arizona for Joe Biden. Dominion's filing notes the network was taking heavy criticism from conservatives at the time. According to a text message in the filing, the Arizona call seemed to cause consternation among the network's biggest stars. Okay. So here it is. Fox host Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and Sean Hannity immediately understood the threat to them personally. Carlson wrote his producer, Alex Pfeiffer, on November 5th saying, quote, we worked really hard to build what we have. Those blankers are destroying our credibility. It enrages me. End quote. He added that he had spoken with Laura, so that'd be Laura Ingraham, and Sean. He adds that he had spoken with Laura and Sean a minute ago, and they are highly upset. End quote. Carlson noted, another quote from him, at this point, we're getting hurt no matter what. End quote. Then, oh yeah, that's Pfeiffer responding. I'm sorry, that's producer responding to Tucker Carlson's earlier text. Then he goes on to say, okay, then Pfeiffer says, it's a real hard needle to thread, but I think many on our side are being reckless demagogues right now. Then Tucker replied, of course they are. We're not going to follow them. End quote. Then he added another quote here, what Trump is What Trump's good at is destroying things. He's the undisputed world champion of that. He could easily destroy us if we play it wrong, end quote. So, interesting. Because it shows that those folks didn't believe what was happening was good. Also, their concern, and I think that is a fair concern, and I, you know, Lord knows I'm not on the level, you know, of those folks. I'm just a talk radio person. Maybe a golden god of talk radio, but still a talk radio guy. I worried about that too. You know, and I've a whole through the process, I said, slow down. Let's see what the facts are in this. And this is obviously what you see here. So it goes further here. It said the filing includes a text from Tucker Carlson to his producer later that day. So later from the one you heard. And it says, okay, it says, after January 6th, trying to thread the needle between truth and pressure from his viewers and sponsors became even more difficult. Late on January 6th, Tucker Carlson texted back with Pfeiffer that Trump is, quote, a demonic force and a destroyer, but he's not going to destroy us. On January 26th, Carlson invited his leading sponsor, Mike Lindell, on his show, where Lindell spouted the same conspiracies on air after previewing them for Carlson's staff during the pre-interview. Now, I could argue with Mediaite in their case on this, maybe, that at first blush, what was happening with the riots, it dismayed me. I think it dismayed most folks. I'm not talking about the protest. I'm not talking about the people that were having their voices heard. I'm talking about the people that rioted. And I still say there's a difference between those folks. Just because you were there to protest, you know, the overwhelming number of people went to protest and then didn't go hurt anybody or go destroy anything or break into the Capitol. Goes on in the story, say, on his show, Carlson has downplayed the Capitol riot, even referred to it as an election justice protest. Well, there was. This is where, you get facts in the story from Mediaite, but it's those turn of phrases that to people who don't critically think about the story, you know, that'll get maybe led down the wrong road. There was an election justice protest. Whether the folks are right or wrong, they were doing one of these beautiful things about our country. Peacefully assembling and protesting. But what the left would like to do, and you know, the Democrats, is paint everybody with the same brush, of course. It says, elsewhere in the filing is a text where Tucker Carlson tells Sean Hannity that Fox News reporter Jackie Heinrich should be fired over a fact check of Trump's election lie. Tucker texting Sean Hannity, says, please get her fired, he said, seriously. Fox News said the Dominion lawsuit is meritless. And it comes in here, it says, Fox News says there'll be a lot of noise and confusion generated by Dominion and their opportunistic private equity owners, but the core of this case remains about the freedom of the press and freedom of speech, which are fundamental rights afforded by the Constitution and protected by New York Times versus Sullivan. Not me, another Sullivan. There's a bunch of us. Do I think that Dominion, in this $1.6 billion, their attorneys with a possibility of getting their cut of $1.6 billion are going to throw everything out? Of course they are. But I think the story is important to show what the chatter was. And I have been privy to some of these things in the past through some other channels, what was being set up there, which is kind of painted what I've said on the air because I've known some of these things. But to see this come out in this filing, now it's for public record, just to show you that there's two things that what they would say privately. And also you see part of this thing that it's a, you know, for these folks, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's a business for these folks, right? So I think it's of interest. I think it's worth talking about and obviously realize that going forward, there's going to be a lot more spin on this, right? There's going to be spin on this coming from the Dominion side of it, but this is what they're saying behind the scene. Oh, good. You know what? Prodigal son always goes, or prodigal daughter, I don't know, unnamed texter, goes to the top. Said, old news, these are actors, Sean. Now, I spell it the other way, but that's one of the three ways. S-E-A-N. Who are actors? You don't think, you're talking about Tucker Carlson. You're talking about Sean Hannity. You're talking about Laura Ingraham. It said, oh, then he said, he or she says, should we switch over to CNN? I don't know. If your radio goes to CNN, I don't give a damn. I'm a conservative guy. I'm just saying you've got to ask these the same way you got to ask the questions the other way. You got to understand the story. This idea that if there's any piece of information that is not the rah 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 in conservatism, then I need to squash it. I need to keep it out. No, you don't. You don't. That's not how it's done. Now, do you have to understand where the impetus comes for Dominion voting? Sure. You know, I'm really intrigued in them showing that they had $1.6 billion in damages. Or maybe is it all compensatory or is it all punitive? How Dominion voting systems can say they had that much damage? I don't know. That'll be of interest to see how they roll that out. But what people are saying behind that, and I'm probably not as big a fan of the other two, but I'm a big fan of Tucker Carlson's. I like him. But you got to know what they're saying behind the, you know, and people get mad if I say these things. Sorry. So Sean says here, so they're normal people. Lord knows I put on my happy face at work every day. Yeah, well, they're normal people. But what I'm getting at is this idea that there was this, and actually I think it's even better for these talk show hosts to show that they are, like you said, Sean, real people, and the fact that they saw what was happening during the riot portion and were not for it. Like, I think a lot of people, majority of people, didn't think it was a swell thing. Okay, we'll get some more texts and phone calls when we come back. 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
By the way, I just spotted Steve McNair walking in. Another 15 minutes or so, he's going to hop on here, talk about the deep crawl. Also, a reminder, y'all give us a shout tomorrow as we ride again with the folks from Joy Life Gulf Coast to benefit St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And we got lots of children in the mix. I think both of mine are going. Even the teenager is going to hang out with dad. My goodness, it's going to be a big time tomorrow. So hopefully you catch some throws from us. We've been loading up the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit with the brand new wrap on it from our friends at Sinorama. Man, it looks great. And then I'll be pulling with my truck the Marine Corps League float, which will have some of our folks on it, and obviously Marines and Tom Claxton, the folks from the Scuttlebutt Network. I enjoy it every year. So give us a holler. And we got throws for you. And I'll go to the phones, and then hopefully I got to have time to get to this men's health story before we finish out the hour. So men's health story, y'all. And I will keep my composure through the whole story because I'm a grown-up. All right, to the phones. And Paul is in Mobile. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Sean.
Hey.
Tucker Carlson. He promoted Viktor Orban, a communist dictator, Putin supporter. Brought him to this country so that he could talk to the Republican Party about how autocrats like Viktor Orban have used gay, bisexual, queer people, gay people to overturn their democratic country.
Yeah, so Viktor Orban,
use
who's been a favorite
people like that to promote the downfall of democracy. And you like Tucker Carlson?
I do like Tucker Carlson. I think he has, but here's the difference. I'm not somebody who has a litmus test that I have to agree with everything every person does to like them. I think he's
so
a smart
guy. You support somebody who's a dictator, autocrat, that's taken voting away from his country? Those are by Tucker Carlson supports him.
What do you think? You think I support that? How long has it been since the last time you drank and drove?
I'm legally blind, never drove in my life.
And I know that.
Thank you, Paul, I know that.
That's why I asked you that question. That's the same thing. Oh, I got Paul. So I know that about Paul. In other words, it's just as, Paul, that question you asked me is just as sentient as the one I asked you. Hence my point. Really? See, this idea that, that everything has to be this absolute, you have to be 100% in, 100% out on anything. And if you, it's where we've got, it's what screwed up the whole conversation. It's what screwed up the whole public forum. Nuance is lost. You have to be 100% either way, or you know, if you like this one thing, then you must like all the other things, right? Or these, you like all these other things, you must like the one thing. Come on. Really? Okay, so let's get to the hard-hitting, I can't say. Let's get to the men's health news story here before we run out of time at this hour, because I know people have been on the edge of their seats about it. Gentlemen, the headline here is average, and I'm going to use, I'll use a technical term once, and then I'll be childish and use euphemisms afterwards. Average penis length has grown in 30 years, and doctors call it concerning. Right? Everybody's saying, who the heck are these doctors, right? The story reads this way. It says, they're growing and it's showing. The average unit length has increased over the past 30 years, a new study has revealed. But experts warn it might not be the ideal reality every man's dreamed of. And yes, like people were talking about on the text line earlier, no, I don't think it's retroactively applicable. As it turns out, science does matter. Researchers fear the phallic inflation is due to unhealthy habits. So this, I guess the unhealthier habits says like bringing junk food or like binging on junk food or being mostly sedentary or even pollution. We'll throw that in there. See, his positive angle for pollution. The Dr. Michael Eisenberg, the study's author, told Stanford Medicine's report here, any overall change in development is concerning because our reproductive system is one of the most important pieces of the human biology. I agree with that. There, we wouldn't be around as a species, right? He goes on to say, if we're seeing this fast of a change, it means something powerful is happening in our bodies, end quote. Published in the World Journal of Men's Health, the Stanford University study analyzed data from 75 studies, over 55,000 men from 1992 to 2021, focusing on the length of their inflated surveillance balloon, fully inflated surveillance balloon. Researchers discovered that the average Johnson size had grown a staggering 24% over three decades. I say what? 24% over three decades. I was going to say let that sink in. Probably, just think about that for a second. Okay. Further, Eisenberg says, erect Chinese surveillance balloon length is getting longer from an average of 4.8 inches to 6 inches over the last 29 years, end quote. Now, it says here, while more studies are needed to confirm the findings and if confirmed, determine the cause of the changes, the researchers, conclusions are hard for expert. I'm not reading this. Somebody more childish than I wrote this story for the New York Post. Okay. I'll leave that sentence out, although it's incredibly funny. Eisenberg assumed he'd see a decline in length, but instead found the opposite. So that's what they talked about, that they were thinking pollution and all this stuff. We're, you know, told it would diminish size of stuff. He said, given the trends we've seen in other measures of men's reproductive health, we thought there could be a decline in Chinese surveillance balloon length due to the same environmental exposures. What we found was quite different from trends in other areas of male fertility and health, because we know that fertility has gone down, right? And testosterone has gone down. Said chemical exposure from pesticides or hygiene products, he continued, could be one of the various factors causing the quick growth. Such chemicals can disrupt the endocrine system, which regulates hormones. Past studies have claimed pollution was shrinking the weather balloons, yet this study may prove those findings false. Okay, it did say here, it concludes, American male Chinese surveillance balloons rank only 59th in the world, and other research has linked the size to a number of social and health consequences. One study found that the larger the Chinese surveillance balloon size is, the bigger the man's personality is. So it's not the hand thing, I guess. The bigger personality has a bigger Chinese surveillance balloon. While another study out there concluded, now I don't, that men with smaller, maybe those small Pico balloons, are more likely to spend big bucks on sports cars. So some of the findings, I'm putting this story out there just because it's a men's health issue and I'm worried about men's health. So I've just wanted to... It's there. They got the facts, the measurements are in. Do with that as you will this weekend. All right, coming back, talk to Mardi Gras. Stephen McNair joins us. Talk to you as well.